All right, it is Butcher Box, everybody. With Butcher Box, you get peace of mind, ultimate convenience, and incredible value. You can now find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised, crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. You don't know what it's going to do. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. The ultimate convenience, being delivered right to your doorstep and with free shipping always. The value is incredible. You get a variety of high-quality cuts, exclusive member deals, recipe inspirations, guides, tips, and hacks. Butcher Box is convenient. There's nothing like having everything you need for dinner right there in the freezer. The value is incredible and absolutely the best way to get quality food. With Butcher Box, you don't have to worry about what's for dinner. Today, Butcher Box is giving our listeners free ground beef for life for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/burr, and use the code burr to get free ground beef for life plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com and code burr, B-U-R-R.
Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's time for the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, January 28th, 2019. What's going on? How are ya? How's it going? I'm doing this Sunday night because I'm a busy freckled beaver this week. So I actually got a buddy over, going to smoke a cigar with him. I was like, well, why don't we kill two birds with one stone, and I'll just have you on the fucking podcast. The one and only Josh Adam Myers.
Hello, everybody. How are? I can't do it.
How are you?
How are? How are? My voice is like, how are you?
I know, the voice of Howlin' Hank.
DJ Howlin' Hank is
on Epis for Family. You can officially say that we're back. We got some funny shit for you this week.
Season four, everybody. Season four. You heard me on the radio. I have a feeling DJ Howlin' Hank will be making many, many more appearances.
I hope so.
I love that guy so much. It's not really hard for me to play it. Just play a coke addict DJ. I mean, that's, you know, just think back into my past.
What were you? I thought you were, Oxy pills? What were you?
I was, I mean, I kind of did the whole smorgasbord.
Let's get back. Where are you from?
I'm from Germantown, Maryland, right outside of Washington, D.C.
Okay, sports affiliations. My podcast listeners have to know.
Here we go. All crap teams, except for one of them. Washington Redskins, Washington Wizards, and the Stanley Cup champion Washington Capitals. I can't believe I get to say that. It's like the greatest feeling in the world.
And no Orioles, no Nationals?
No, I'm an Orioles and a Nationals fan. It kind of splits. I mean, I grew up an Orioles fan, but I loved Bryce Harper, and I really just root for the whole town. So I'm a diehard Orioles fan, but I'm also going to root for the Nats. I just want that
whole city
to win.
Are you old enough to have been a Baltimore Colt fan before they left or no?
I was alive, but I was already Redskins. I mean, okay. They left at what, 82, 84, something like that?
Something like that, 83, 84, somewhere around
there. I remember, and this is what sucks, is that I remember just my from like 0 to 10, it was just three Super Bowls, and then at like 11, I think we got our last one, which was in 91.
The Redskins, yeah.
The Redskins. And then I was just like, oh, we're probably going to be in this all the time. Yeah. And then nothing.
Well, that's what's going to happen to like
the Patriots and
all these kids who were lucky enough to be born in the 1990s and remember 2000, the first one in 2000, yeah. 2001. You know, it's going to be like, you know, there was kids born when I was born in 1968, and then they got to watch Dan Marino. I mean, I'm just saying, as far as like just being good and competitive, I was compared to Dan Marino because that guy was the best I ever saw, man.
Yeah.
Other than Joe Montana, but even then, I think Dan Marino with Bill Walsh, he definitely wins one.
So, I only remember bad knees, Marino. That's where I was. I mean, bad
Achilles,
back, bad knees,
Achilles.
Well, just bad everything. When I got in, he was already in the down.
Well, I always felt with him, he came in and he was with Don Shula, and Don Shula like
was a man. But, Shula was a man.
But by then everybody had caught up with him, stolen all his fucking tricks, and he was on like his. He was in the final 10 years of going back to like the 1950s. I want to say he was on the Giants at one point, and he was offensive and defensive coordinator, and the other guy was Tom Landry.
Okay.
Like those were the two guys or something like that. I always forget who the hell it was. But anyways, I just remember, you know, they went from Bob Greasy to fucking Dan Marino. And they just kicked our ass for like the first 20 years of me watching the Patriots.
You just couldn't take it.
And I look at the Dolphins fans now, like they're still waiting.
I feel so
for their next Dan Marino.
Dude, my cousin is the biggest Dolphins fan. He named his dog Marino. Like he fucking
that's a good name.
He loves this team so much. And it was like, I remember the beginning of the season. I was like, dude, they're looking good. They're winning some games. And he's like, they're gonna fuck it up. And then boom, it's just what they finished, like 7-9. They're a 7-9 team. I mean, I can't talk. The Redskins are. What, like 6-10? I gave up. Once all four of our quarterbacks broke a leg, I was like, all right. I was like, we deserve it. Racist team name. You can't be 4-12 with a racist team name. You got to be 12-4.
I know.
we can't help it.
I will say this, though. I still can't believe in all of this fucking hashtag and all this shit. The fact that they still do the tomahawk chop. All of that fucking, it's so fucking bad. It's so fucking bad. And they sit there like, it does. I love when white people justify, like, it's literally the people are saying, don't do it.
Yeah, they're like, but we're honoring the heritage. I always
compare to it, it's because we committed genocide. Who's kidding who? against those people. That would be like if the Germans won. And then at the soccer game, everyone was chanting, Oy vey, Oy vey. And you know what's funny? Two, is that is old school Hollywood imitating their singing and all that.
Oh, yeah,
the whole thing on so many fucking levels. It's just like, dude, what can you just, and they fucking refuse. And I don't know. Well, that's why there's like a backlash now on white privilege. Like there's people going out there and
do what? Just
there's white people saying that white privilege doesn't exist, which is fucking. And then you listen to their stories, and all their stories are is basically that they weren't born rich. But at no point was ever, hey, I was driving down the street, and because I was white, I got pulled over, tased, and then shot to death.
Yeah.
And then the cop got free. cop was released. There's none of that. There's none of that. Yeah, like, dude, there's like, look, there's to sit there and act like there aren't privileges. There's privileges in everything. There's all different levels to being white, and there's shit that as if you're just like a regular white guy, shit that you see the private school white kid doing. You know that pisses me off. And there's different levels of black people. You know, there's a Huxtable
area.
I grew up
middle class, lower middle class. And it's just like, I had that friend that just like, dude, I had a friend who was like super rich. His dad worked for the FDA, right? This kid always had money. That family always had money. His dad went into a Lone Star. Remember that steakhouse where they put like, they give you peanuts and then you just throw the shells on the floor, right?
Uh-huh.
His dad slipped on the floor, hurt his knee, got like $10 million. They were already rich. Like that's the kind of shit that should happen to my dad.
I just remember when being in New York City one time, and there was this publicist who fucking snapped or something out on, and she was out like I want to say she was out in the Hamptons, Long Island, and somewhere out there.
Okay,
she snapped because something about some club or a restaurant, and she backed into like 17 fucking people.
I don't mean to laugh.
Drove away.
Oh, that's horrible.
Drove the fuck away.
Gotta go.
They got a license plate. They knew who she was. And the cop showed up and the lawyer was in the driveway, met the cops and said she'll turn herself in tomorrow morning. I just remember reading that going like, what the fuck?
How is that possible?
What level is that?
What is that?
Yeah. But so to sit there and act like, I don't know, like it's fucking hilarious.
It is hilarious.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. But the thing is back with the Redskins,
I used to work in a warehouse and unloaded trucks. It's just like, yeah, I know, but there at no point did anybody ever look at you and like, you have white skin. Get out of this neighborhood.
Yeah. They just let him be. That's the thing with the Redskins, though, is that it's every like 6 years, a senator or a congressman says, you got to change the name. And I completely agree. At this point, I'm like, just change the name. I can't believe the owner wouldn't do it, considering.
I honestly don't notice now because it's just been called that for so fucking long.
But you got to look at this. You got to look at the owner is, first of all, we have probably one of the worst owners in football because he's like Jerry Jones, just doesn't know anything about football. So he's fucking the team up. He's causing all these problems, you know, and he wants money so bad that you would think that he would change the name to get all the merchandising money. Like, right. Dude, that's like another, you know, $100 million worth of shit. That pays for a new, you know, parking lot.
Here's an argument that I've been wondering about for a while now, and I think I kind of understand it. Where in every sport, like Major League Baseball, I thought they counted World Series titles back to the 1880s, but the first one they counted was 1903, which I think was the Boston Red Sox. I literally looked it up last week. I already forget, but like they count all the way back to fucking 1903, all right, when it was a segregated league, all of this shit, right? Like, you know, Crazy Leg Johnson, it was fucking 10.
I loved him.
10 teams or whatever, right? Stanley Cup goes about that far back. NBA titles goes back to the 1940s, and even the Lakers count an NBL title. They somehow won a title in the NBL, and that was counted as a fucking NBA title.
Was that when they were the Minneapolis Lakers?
Yeah, their first they won an NBL, and then they won four NBA titles in Minneapolis, but they for some reason count that one. But Super Bowls, they only start in 1968, and what kills me...
Oh, I saw you post something about this.
Yeah, it's just like, so you're telling me, and people are saying, because they call it a merger, but it was like the AFL came in. It was like the XFL or the USFL or the World Football League. It was just this other competing football league. And the NFL laughed going, you're some fucking, you know, piece of shit league. But it was early enough on, I guess, where they, you know, and they made enough moves and had enough money or whatever. And with the style that they played, that they started to compete with them. And then they played them in the first two games, Super Bowl one and two, which were called NFL-AFL championship game. And they got the shit kicked out of them because they weren't as good a league. And then the AFL won in Super Bowl III, which was still not called the Super Bowl. It was still the AFL-NFL championship, all right?
Yeah.
So then after that, they agreed to merge. All the owners agreed in the AFL to merge with the NFL. Al Davis was the only one. He wanted to put the NFL out of business because he was fucking Al Davis, which is why
gangster, dude.
Well, you got to love him, right? So, and then at that point, they just go, all right, so those first three games against the AFL-NFL, that's when we're going to start. I guess because they called it a merger rather than... But I mean, like the ABA, in a way, merged with the NBA.
With the NBA, yeah.
And they still count all that shit back to the 1940s.
Well, They only took some teams from the ABA. They didn't take everybody.
Okay, but still.
Oh, yeah.
But still, it was a competing league that was fucking with their numbers, and they had a more exciting game, just like the AFL. And then in the end, the NBA, was losing too many players to it. Same way with the NFL. At some point, it's like, can't beat them, join them. And then they came together. But they still count all those Celtics championships in the 60s and all that. So it's like you're telling me that John Unitas, I got to look at him in a certain way. Or in half of those fucking teams, the Browns, the Rams, the Bears, the Packers, the Giants, all of those fucking teams were in the NFL playing each other.
Sure.
It was actually, in a way, you could say, you know, I guess you can't say it was more talent then. But I'm just saying, like, I don't get why they just wipe that away. They don't fucking talk about it at all. And that the Steelers, with six fucking in 2018, six championships.
Yeah.
Like, it's so fucking ridiculous that the Patriots, right, if we win Sunday, which would be next Sunday, which would be fucking awesome, we would be tied for the most championships won in NFL history, and we've got our first one fucking 17 years ago. That doesn't make any fucking sense. That's stupid.
I see where you're coming from, but at the same time, you know, we're going by Super Bowl One. I am not a Patriots fan. I think they have since they started winning them in what, 2001? Was that the first one?
Yeah.
I mean, they're definitely
2001 season.
They're definitely, you know, one of the strongest teams. But all the people that want to fight and put up the fight about saying that, you know, well, I saw that thing the guy posted. The Green Bay has like, we've got like 14 or whatever.
But here's Green Bay though. Green Bay's won four Super Bowls and they won like fucking 11 NFL titles. They've been winning the entire fucking time.
Yeah, but they just haven't won in a minute. I mean, how long has it been since Green Bay's won? What was that, 2005? Something like that?
No, like 9 or 10 or something.
Okay, you're right.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about that. Well, then why would you fucking count the Broncos haven't won it in 20 years? So what, those theirs don't count?
No, they count. I'm saying they count, but I just thought you were getting mad about somebody posting that Green Bay had X amount because they were including earlier ones.
No, that's my argument. They should keep those.
Yeah, but
those should fucking count. If the fucking Montreal Canadiens can count when they fucking beat somebody playing on a pond.
Oh, I didn't know which angle you were going with. I thought you were saying those people.
I'm for it.
Oh, okay then.
I love the history of the game. The NFL has been the NFL, and a bunch of fucking leagues have tried to compete with them. They've never been able to. The best you ever had was the AFL merged with them. But it was still called the NFL. It wasn't called the AFL. It wasn't called the NFL / AFL, like Sirius XM or whatever, right?
Yeah.
It was called the fucking NFL. You joined the NFL.
Yeah.
So those other championships were NFL championships. That's because now you call it the fucking Super Bowl.
Sure.
It was still the two best teams. And those, you know, before the AFL existed, those were the two fucking best teams out. That fucking classic Giants-Colts game played in fucking Yankee Stadium. The winner of that can't fucking walk up to somebody who won Super Bowl IV and said, I know what that feels like.
They know exactly what it feels like. A lot of people are dying off, but yeah, they know what it feels like. 100%.
That's a great point. They are dying off.
They are dying off.
But I don't know. I count them. The Green Bay Packers are the fucking New York Yankees, and I think the Giants are next. And that's the way it should be.
Dude, I think it was, well, the Redskins are up there. The Redskins have, we have,
no, you got,
three,
you guys,
we have three, and then we had, I think we had like four of the world championship ones too.
All right, I'm going to give you some trivia. Where did the Rams first start at? What city?
St. Louis?
No.
No, because no, it was with Los Angeles. I don't fucking know. Jesus Christ.
Dude, you know, I love, you just sounded like me in math class a long time ago.
Well, that's what I love about you is that you, I know sports, but dude, you know fucking sports. Like you, like I can imagine. You
I know
sit
up
there,
to a point because I used to know fucking everybody in the league and I just don't have time anymore. So I don't know, but they started off in Cleveland and I've never understood why they were called the Rams. I don't know that there was any Rams in there. All right, let's look up. What am I looking up? Washington Redskins. What's your fight song?
Hail to the Redskins.
That's right.
Hail victory. Braves on the warpath. Fight for old DC.
Oh, there you go.
And then it goes into some weird thing. Running, tossing, jumping, there's a lot more. Skiba dabba dooba, let the points soar. Fight on.
All right, here you go. NFL championships pre-1970 merger. You got two.
All right, five's pretty good. I'll take it.
Yeah, so you got five. So right now, as for the way I look at it, you're tied with the Patriots. We got five Super Bowls. You got five champion. We have five championships.
I wish everybody thought like you, because a lot of people
don't.
You
know, don't. So
you have, a lot of
you
people.
Know, few fucking people have ever said that.
No, it's just I completely agree with what you're saying. If the one before it was the official Super Bowl, it's still a championship. Unfortunately, a lot of those people have died.
Yeah, who would care, I guess. Let's see here. Yeah, da, 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 ba, 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 ba. All right. League championships. All right. The NFL champ pre-1970, the Giants won four. So they've won four NFL titles and they won four Super Bowl titles. Those, you go to the stadiums, they're nowhere to be found. They're not listed. It's like it never fucking happened. I don't
see the
that.
Angle you're coming with right now, and I respect the what you're saying, dude. 100%. That's not fair.
Well, I'm not saying it's not fair.
It's
not fair. I'm just asking why. Why? Won't you win the championships? Dude, league championships, Chicago Bears. Okay, they won fucking nine. 1921, 1932, 33, 40, 41, 43, dude. 46, 1963, and then they won a Super Bowl in 1985, and all they have is one fucking banner hanging over their stadium.
Check one of the scores when they beat the Redskins in one of those league championships. It's like crazy fucking lopsided.
Oh, like 70 to
8, if I'm not mistaken. So I don't know a lot about sports, about facts, but I do know that that is right.
All right, let's look up the Los Angeles Rams. All right, and you'll find.
Are you nervous? Are you nervous about Sunday?
Oh, yeah, always. I'll tell you what's the funniest thing. My Verzi texted me, and he's like, dude, Todd Gurley. Is it Todd Gurley?
Todd Gurley, yeah.
Yeah, he goes, he's hurt. And in my head, I'm like, dude, there's no way two stand-up comedians know the injury status of the key running back for the Rams.
Verzi, I got a guy on the inside.
Yeah.
Who's your guy on the inside? ESPN.com.
This is my if he was really fucking hurt, we wouldn't know. They would keep that under wraps.
But he was hurt in the last game. I saw him on the bike for a little bit.
I know, but here's the thing.
What?
Here's the thing. Everybody's hurt this time of year. They all said he's got two fucking weeks to recover. He's going to fucking play. If they're leaking it out that he's hurt, that means he's way better than they thought he was going to be, because that's just good. Oh, he's hurt. And like, but they know Belichick is going to be like, well, I guess we don't have to prepare for Todd Gurley. but it was just funny.
Oh, no, he showed up.
Yeah. All right, NFL championships pre-1970, the Rams, they won in 45 and 51, and then they won in 1999. And they were the York Cleveland Rams from 1936 to 1942. They took 43 off to finish off the Germans and the Japanese. 1944, 1945, that was the last year. And then they moved to Los Angeles. They stayed there till 94, came back to 2016, which brings me to something I was making fun of in a lot. Did you watch the Saints-Rams game?
I did.
All right. Everybody thought the worst fucking thing in that was that fucking helmet to helmet, no pass interference call. The worst thing in that game was when they cut to the stands after the Rams won, and you saw those guys in the Rams jerseys in their 20s, maybe early 30s, crying.
I saw that. Yes, I did see that.
And their girlfriends were trying to comfort them. It's just like, buddy, you were fucking 2 years old when they moved away. Like, what are you doing here? You've been waiting since 2016?
It's just, listen.
You're fucking
dude, Bill,
crying?
Bill, when you, because if you remember what happened when we watched, because you watched the Caps game with me when they won the cup, you were on my computer.
I was in London.
You were in London, but I was FaceTiming you so you could watch the game.
Everybody was asleep, and I was pitch black, and I was in the bathroom of my hotel. My wife and daughter were sound asleep, and I was going, dude, I'm so happy for you. Just fucking. And I was sitting there going, like,
all right, dude. Congratulations.
I was FaceTiming with you, and you had your fucking TV on.
But you were like, congratulations, buddy.
My wife probably thought I was in there talking to a hooker. This is the greatest feeling in the world. Trust me.
I know it. But
my wife probably thought I was in there talking to a hooker.
Okay, everybody's asleep. Oh, man, it's so beautiful. Oh, it's so beautiful. But what was so funny is if you would have seen me, and I mean, like, I remember in 91 when the Redskins won, but I remember the day after because my mom, like, I was watching the game, and then my mom made a bunch of her famous Super Bowl chili, and I ate a bunch of it, and then I fell asleep in a laundry basket. I was 11, and then I didn't get another championship until this Caps won, and we were watching it together, and you were facing the screen, and I remember I was just like cheering as the clock ran down, and then remember it stopped for a second. There was like a stoppage of play at like 0.06 seconds. Yeah. So I was screaming, and then I got quiet, and then they win the game, and everybody's running on the ice, and I'm just dead silent. I thought, I was like, am I dead inside? Yeah. Like, what is wrong with me? And then they brought the cup out. And dude, I just started weeping. Just weeping, dude. Just like, oh God, I can't take it.
Why does it matter so much? It's so stupid.
It's everything. Awesome. It's all the you know, the times that they chunked it before when they were supposed to win, and all the times that, yeah, you know, you put so much into it, and to finally get it just was so sweet, man. And it was like, I started thinking about, like, I'm going to go really like John Cougar Mellencamp here, but I thought about all like the middle class people that live in the Washington DC area that work these dead end jobs. And then they get that championship because they want it so bad. And that team, whether it's the Redskins or the Caps or whoever, it's like, that's what they have to help them escape. And so
seeing your team raise the cup is just like, I kind of was just like, I don't think I'm ever going to see the Bruins do it. And when they finally did it, I watched them from 1980 to 2011. That's how long it took me to, what's that, 10, 20, 31 years.
31.
I watched them. And so from age 12 to, what is that, 43, when they finally did it. And I told this story before. I was at the Chicago Theater on Jim Norton's tour with Jim Brewer, Dave Attell, and myself on this tour called the Antisocial Tour. And I watched the first period and a half, then I went on stage, and then when I got off stage, I watched the final 7 minutes upstairs in one of those, the green room or something like that. And I remember being up there by myself because none of them cared because it wasn't their team, and the show ended and they went out to do the meet and greet, and I stayed up there. And there was like 3 minutes left and they scored a goal, or it was just not enough time for the other team to come back, Vancouver. And I was by myself, and I went up like 9 octaves. I was like, oh my God, they're going to do it. And all I wanted to see, and they were like, come on, you got to come down for the meet and greet. People saying, where the fuck are you? Calling you a phony for not. I was like, wait, I just had to see him lift it up. And I told my wife to tape it. I knew she was taping it. And just when I saw Zdeno just lift it, I'm just going like,
yeah, dude,
that was 31 years just coming out of you. Just all those years of not being able to get past the Canadians, not being able to win in the Forum.
Yeah, man.
Fucking getting past the Canadians and then running into those fucking Gretzky Edmonton Oilers and the Mark Messier Edmonton Oilers. And then you know, Neely's getting his fucking leg taken out, you know, and Bork having to go somewhere else to win a cup. And it's just fuck, the lockout.
Oh yeah!
All of that.
It's just
shit.
Everything.
Just
it's
the whole
everything.
Fucking thing. It all just goes through your head, and then bam!
It's like you literally feel like they're good. They're just gonna like look at your television screen and go, "Do you want to hold it up?" And you could just like grab it. It's just such an It was such an incredible feeling.
Dude, I have such respect for that trophy. I would never touch it. I wouldn't even touch it.
Somebody
said, hey, grab it. Because I'm not. Because you should be on a team that fucking won. Players who play in the league won't even touch it unless they won it. So me, some fucking asshole, because
just walk up. The Stanley Cup.
Fucking lift it up and drink a beer.
First of all, they're not going to let you lift it up, dude. They might let you get like a bomb on it, but that's about it. All right, I respect that.
No,
okay.
I've seen pictures of guys I know that know players and shit, and they're like holding it with them. Like, what the fuck are you doing with your hands on that? You
I respect
I mean?
That. No, I respect that. I respect that you
it's
appreciate
it. It's like standing back
you
to back.
It.
Back
you
to back with the green beret that saw action and you got your face all painted too, like you did something.
You were paintballing with
I
them.
Watched with your paintball gun. I watched you on CNN. Anyways, I got a little bit of advertising here. I have to read.
Hit me.
Let me see here. What do you got? Where the fuck did... This always happens. Josh Adam Myers, why does this always happen? Okay. Oh, 1-800-FLOWERS. Valentine's Day is coming up there, buddy.
Can't wait.
By now, most of us have started racking our brains about what Valentine's gift is truly going to make her day special. Dude, fuck that. Is any woman out there fucking racking their brains about what kind of fucking stupid thing they're going to get you?
No.
You know what guys should do? We should get into some... What fucking thing could you pressure them? It'd be funny, like, ladies, you know, Valentine's Day, what kind of flat screen TV
are you going to get for me?
Yeah.
I was thinking about some Sonos audio.
Yeah. All that shiny shit. With 1-800-Flowers.com, it's really not that complicated. Roses from 1-800-Flowers are a no-brainer. Right now, when you order early, 1-800-Flowers has amazing deals on vibrant and romantic Valentine's rose bouquets. Is it bouquet or bouquet?
Who says bouquet? It's bouquet.
Oh. Bouquet. Hey, oh, my God. It's bouquet.
It's bouquet.
I'm going to get a bouquet.
Bouquet?
Tomato, something like that. Arrangements and more starting at $29.99. This is a great thing to do, though, to fucking get this done.
Oh yeah, to order ahead of time.
To get this fucking thing done, and then you just find some other stupid bullshit thing that you can do. You send the flowers to work so everybody, she can feel in front of all of her fucking friends. You know what I mean? That's what it's all about.
Oh, yeah. You don't send it to the house. You got to send it to a public place where she can be seen.
They want people to see. Remember that stupid comment? I love this woman. That's what they want. See? My pussy's better than yours. There are so many unbelievable deals from 1-800-Flowers, but you have to hurry. Roses Roses are red. Roses from 1-800-Flowers are picked at their peak and shipped overnight to ensure freshness. Amazing. I just pictured the miserable bastard picking those things. Gorgeous. Does he have any love in his life? Gorgeous Valentine's bouquets. An arrangement starting at $29.99 is an amazing deal, but it won't last long. Bouquets. Prices will be going up soon, so take advantage today. Pick your delivery date and let 1-800-Flowers handle the rest. When it comes to Valentine's, I don't settle for anything less than my rose authority. I guess that's supposed to be me talking. 1-800-Flowers.com to order Valentine's bouquets. Arrangements and more starting at $29.99. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click on the radio icon, and enter Burr, B-U-R-R, order today and save at 1-800-Flowers.com, code BURR.
I love how you slowly turned into Waylon Jennings towards the end of that.
I just get sick. I have to do anything I can because I can't read out loud anything to keep it entertaining.
Dude, I love the bouquets. That's fantastic.
Hello. That's like Adobe. There's no basement at the Alamo. There's no bouquet at the Alamo.
That's my fucking shit, dude.
All right. Hymns. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't us. It was them. That's where I got hymns from. That's from the Warriors.
I've never seen the Warriors.
It was them. You never seen the Warriors?
Never seen the Warriors. I started it and then I fell asleep. I'd like 2 months ago. I'll get into it one day.
Okay. Hymns. Why do guys turn to weird solutions or do nothing when they can turn to medicine and science? What are they talking about? Solution. For hymns.com, a one stop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness. Oh, God. What the fuck was that? Oh, I turned it on to make sure I knew you were coming. Oh, fuck. I forgot to send that fucking lady a check. All right. What am I doing here? For Hims, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness for men. This is the whole thing, dude. You're going to clear up your skin. You're going to get your lion's mane bag, and you're going to fucking blowjob. Motivate your audience. Talk about your experience with the product. Well, you know what me talking about that. I'm married and I'm fucking bald.
Your skin looks great. You're young and virile.
Oh, yeah.
Your hair's
right,
full.
Dude. Yeah, that's right. Choose 1 to 2 copy points to rotate into your spot. Why are they telling me this? Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Well, fucking thanks for telling me. Hims connects you with real doctors and real doctors this time, and medical grade solutions to treat hair loss. Well-known generic equivalents to name brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. No snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. Prescription solutions backed by science. I like that snake oil and gas station solutions.
Dude,
was from like the 1930s. They still do that?
Dude, go to any gas station and you can get those like, you know, black mambas or like just like dick pills, whatever, dude. They sell them all behind the counter. Yeah.
Dick pill. That's a good name for a band. No waiting room, no awkward in-person doctor visits. Save hours by going to for Hims, FORHIMS.com. So easy. Answer a few quick questions. Doctors will review and can prescribe you products. Are shipped direct to your door. All right. Order now. My listeners get a trial of For Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. See website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy. Go to forhims.com/burr. That's FORHIMS.com/burr. Forhims.com/burr. And lastly, but certainly not leastly, stamps.com. Postage rates have gone up again. Can you believe how many cents it costs to send a fucking envelope from here to fucking New York? Thankfully, Stamps.com can ease the pain with big discounts off post office retail rates. Stamps.com makes it easy. They'll send you a free digital scale, automatically calculates exact postage. Stamps.com will even help you decide the best class of mail based on your needs. They'll even give you postage discounts you can't get at the post office, including 5 cents off every class stamp. I use Stamps.com to send out all my posters. I'm a moron. If I can figure it out, so can you. Right now, my listeners, get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. See for yourself why over 700,000 small businesses use Stamps.com. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Burr, B-U-R-R, that's Stamps.com, enter Burr. All righty. Hey, you have a podcast.
I do. You know what's funny? I was watching you read that, and like, you just keep going when you make the mistake. And like, when I try to tape stuff like that, if I fuck up at all, I'm like, all right, God damn it. And I just like have to start over. It's just seeing you do it so effortlessly.
Yeah. You're a perfectionist.
Well, you're so comfortable doing it.
Well, all you do, I've established right out of the gate that I'm a moron.
Yeah, I guess
I got
you
out
did.
In front of it.
Yeah.
It's like
I just need to tell everybody
like
I'm an idiot.
Bill Clinton saw what happened to Gary Hart and he just got out in front of it. They were just like, did you? He's like, I fucked them all. And then he fucking, you know?
Yeah.
But then he went back to his old ways. I did not have sex with that woman.
That's a good Clinton, dude.
And then if I went, I do not have problems reading out loud. Like, that would be the end. I would get impeached.
Sure.
I'd be, you know, I wouldn't leave just like him.
I need to leave my flaws in. That's what it taught me to do.
Yeah.
I do have a podcast. I love it, Bill. I'm telling you, I love this more than
the 500.
The 500.
It's about stock car racing.
It is not about that. It is about the 500 greatest albums of all time. I'm going through Rolling Stone magazine's list of the 500 greatest albums, starting at 500, working my way down to one. Each week, I sit down with a comic, actor, or musician. Now, you know, and I give them a week with the record, and then I break the record down, and we sit down and talk about it.
Is Kiss got one in the
we
top
did 500. I just did with Jeff Ross, Kiss Destroyer.
I was gonna say, you know, you could have got Steven Adler.
I mean, I've got
he would love
I would love to get Steven.
You gotta get him in there,
dude. I love this so much, man. Like, because it's not just being able to sit down and talk with my buddies about the album and ask them questions around like the meanings of the songs and the facts from the record. But dude, since I've started doing this, like, I have listened to music that I thought I would never listen to, didn't even know about. And it's like touching me and it's just so incredible. Right now I'm listening to Steve Earle, Guitar Town. You ever heard of him?
Uh-oh.
This guy is, this is like his Born in the USA, but country record. Dude, I never listened to country. I fucking love this record, dude.
When did it come out?
1985. And he has a song called Guitar Town. And it's just incredible. I mean, especially once you know the history of this guy and like how he dropped out of school and then went to Nashville, like, you know, to find Townes Van Zandt. And like was writing songs for people. And then the record company was like, all right, well, we want you to make a record. And he was like, all right. And he just sat down and wrote the first song and the last song. And then just the whole album came together. But it's like, that's what I love.
How many albums does he have?
Oh, he's got a shitload.
Oh, does he?
But I haven't listened to anything else.
So he must be real quality because I don't know who he is. You know what I mean? Because I figured like if I know who a country person is, for the most part, they suck. Because it's going to be like, you just know like the pop kind of.
Here's the
like,
thing,
you
though.
Don't, you don't know. It's like, you know, like if you were, I don't know, if somebody say, hey, name a speed metal band, everybody would know.
You say Motorcycle.
That's right.
You would say Motorcycle.
Motorcycle.
Our favorite band. No, this is the thing. The guy could have been like enormous, but then he developed like a drug problem and then kind of fell off. And now he actually still makes music, but the country fan base doesn't really fuck with him anymore because he leans very left. And I was actually watching a documentary of his because I'm getting ready to record the episode with Tom Everett Scott from That Thing You Do. He played the drummer. You remember when he came and did it at the jam. And you look at the YouTube comments, you know, of this documentary, and it's like, I used to like his music, but he's a fucking stupid leftist libertard. And it's just like, because they can't accept that, you know, you can play country music but still lean towards.
But it's also why I think, you know, you shouldn't be constantly putting out your political opinions. Like, listen, I completely agree with that. I make fun of people, you know, the white privilege thing. I make fun of feminists and shit. I try to be like even-handed or whatever, but you know, all you do is just like nobody. All you do is get people who agree with you to agree with you, and then people who don't agree with you to now hate you and not want to watch something that you do because they can't separate the two. Like,
yeah.
I can stay at a fucking Trump hotel and not like Donald Trump, and a lot of people can't get past that because in their minds the people who run the Sheridan, who were also billionaires, for some reason, didn't vote for Donald Trump.
They're all the same fucking people.
100%.
Yeah.
But not to mention, like, it's just, they're just paying for his name outside the thing. It's not like literally.
And it's, I've been in a Trump hotel. They're extremely nice.
Oh, they're incredible.
They're incredible. Yeah. I said nice. I mean, everybody knew what I meant. You didn't have to one up me and say incredible.
No, it was incredible. I've only stayed at one. It was fucking incredible.
It's fantastic.
Like,
this, is that one upping incredible?
It's what this guy should be doing.
Fuck yeah, dude.
If his presidency was as competent as his fucking hotel, I mean, this we would be back. He would make it great again.
If his tax cuts were as good as his bath towels, I mean, come the fuck.
You know what I was making fun of the other day? Somebody said,
what?
You know, like, there was some sort of tax thing out there if you make $11 million or more, and people who make $11 million or more were complaining.
Right? Oh, yeah.
So somebody had tweeted that, you know, hey, you know, this is fucking bullshit. Just pay your fair share. Someone makes $11 million a year, doesn't work any harder than somebody who makes 20 grand a year. And I was fucking dying laughing. I was like, oh, yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do.
You wonder why a guy making $11 million is getting a fucking divorce? It's because he never sees his wife. That's why.
That's true.
Yeah, that's why. Doesn't see his kids, has a pool, never been in it. And it's just like, yeah, there's 24 fucking seven. I've made 20 grand a year. You know what's great? It's the second the fucking whistle blows, you don't even think about that job.
But what's what I think?
Nobody calls you up. Hey, Bill, tomorrow when you unload the boxes, could you maybe do it? We need to get to have a fucking conference call on how you unload the fucking truck. It's just
because people don't think that. People think of, like, when you think somebody makes 20 million a year, like, we just know shit from like Falcon Crest and Dynasty, all those shows. Yeah. And they're like, they don't do anything.
Yeah.
They hang out at country clubs and they piss on us.
Yeah.
The 20,000ers.
Yeah, and you have petty fights with people within your family.
Yeah, that's all they do. Like, nobody sees them, like, you know, in the office from, you know, from 6 a.m. until, like, 3 a.m., and then they go home, like, walk into their kid's room, the kid's sleeping, a single teardrop falls, and then they go bang the maid and go to sleep.
Yeah.
That's what I assume happens. I have no idea. I grew up lower middle class. But what I love about this podcast is that I would do this if nobody was listening, because I wanted to listen to these albums, and I started to, I wanted to feel inspired. I think I was just musically tapped out, and I was like, all right, I'm going to listen to an album a day over 500 days. And I started posting about it. And when I got to like 498, which was like on the third day, Jim Jefferies reached out to me. He's like, dude, he's like, that Stone Roses record is one of my favorite records. He's like, oh, the stories that I think of when I hear that music. And then it like hit me. And I was like, that's the podcast I've been waiting to do.
He has a great voice.
He can sing. He's incredible voice. But he came on and he did that episode. And that's basically what it is. It's like, you know, we're going to go through these great records and we're going to talk about them. I'm going to ask.
Don't you need more than a day to listen to an album that's
no,
that good?
No, I give them a week.
Gee, he just pointed right at me. No. Oh, a week.
I give you a week. Yeah. Well, you did it. You did.
Oh, but
you only took a day to listen to it because you're so busy, because you're making $12 million. So you're out.
I'm making $11 million and $1.
$11 million and $1.
So I was the one who complained.
I can tell it was you.
It was me.
So, but what it is like, I give every comic or actor, whoever it's going to be, a week with the record, and then I break the album down and like ask them questions about their life using the meaning of the songs, the facts from the record. So the album is really just like the celery and the carrots and the onions of the soup, but it's really just, you know, the basis for me just to have a really, you know, funny or deep or whatever the fuck it is. It's just a good conversation.
When you run out of those albums,
it's over then.
No, I know how you do it. What do you do next? You do the 500 albums that should have been in the top 500.
That'll be in 9.61 years. And that's not a bad idea. But I might just be, you know, I think I'm going to retire it on May 31st, 2028.
Oh, that's what
we're
going
to have. My goal is on the final episode to have Oprah. I don't know why, but it's my white whale.
What's the number one?
Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Then it goes.
That's the number one album.
That's number one. Then number two is Pet Sounds. And then number three, I think, is Revolver.
So this is White Rock, the number one White Rock.
In the top 10. No, Marvin Gaye is in the top 10. Marvin Gaye is number 6. Marvin Gaye, What's Going On? But it's all over the place. The like album 500 was Outkast, Aquemini, and then 499.
So what they're probably saying is because the Beatles, who really went rogue and started their own, Beatles were essentially a boy band,
and then they
they took control of their careers. What a lot of people, because the Beatles now get a ton of shit by people being like, you know, there's like people who think they stink. Like I've listened to people.
Who thinks the Beatles stink?
Dumb people.
Well, they're dumb.
Yeah, I'm not saying you can't be into them. They don't move you or whatever. I mean, it's been a long time, but that's like saying Count Basie stinks or something like.
No,
it's just like
they,
no. Yeah,
they don't. That's the thing is that somebody like my age, I'm 39. Like I you know was born in 79, so I wasn't really alive during the Beatles era. And from what I've been told and everything I've read, like there will never be an artist as big as the Beatles were. Like they were enormous. Like we
what
can't
it was,
even.
Was they broke out of what usually binds you, and they took control of their career and started their own label. And then when they should have fizzled out, they made this left turn where they reinvented themselves. You know, when they started doing drugs and grew their hair and all that shit.
Yeah,
and
like Rubber
then,
Soul.
And then yeah, and Revolver and all that stuff. And then when that kind of went to, they were. Now what the fuck do we do? It's like, all right, let's just play characters. Now we'll be these guys. How would these guys do that? Yeah. So during that time, Marvin Gaye, I think he was stuck in the Motown shit, and he's got to sing what they're writing for him. And by the 70s, you know, he was doing what they did as far as he kind of broke away. He's like, well, I want to sing about what I'm thinking about. Rather than doing my version of She Loves You, Yeah, 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 where he's doing like Heard It Through the Grapevine and all that stuff, which I still love all those songs and everything. But then he wanted to go like deeper. So maybe they think that that's because.
Well, Sgt. Pepper.
I think What's Going On is a better record than.
Than Sgt. Pepper?
Yeah.
I mean, it's listen. This whole list is completely, you know.
Yeah, it's
all over the.
It's designed to do this.
It's there's you got like because the way they made it, because I've already had this discussion with people,
it
is
was
like
24 years ago today. What is it? It's 20 years ago today. Sgt. Pepper taught the band to play. Then they're going in and out of style. Gobble skiba lapa down the dial. It's gonna be introduced to you, the one and only Billy Shears.
Yeah.
Skiba diba, skiba doo doo. Yep, something like that.
One of the best moments we've had on the jam is when Jim Jefferies sang that. First time he did it, he did Sgt. Pepper and then into With a Little Help from My Friends. And he was wearing a jacket that he bought at John Varvatos. That the only reason he bought it, it's the gaudiest, like most expensive, weirdest jacket you ever seen in your life. And it cost like $10,000. And he only bought it because he was at this John Varvatos like event, and he put it on to laugh about it. And then Ringo Starr walked by and went, "You look good in that." So he was like, "Well, I got to buy it now." I mean, if a Beatle tells you you look good in something, it's like you got to
get the fuck. Ringo Starr was there.
Yeah, dude. Ringo's always at like Varvatos events. He wears all that like interview with a vampire
it was an event.
Clothing.
It was
yeah,
an event. It yeah. wasn't a store.
Not at the no. it was an event.
I spaced halfway through the.
Okay, but it's great. It's great. So what I'm saying is that you know Sgt. Pepper was this huge thing for the Beatles because
wait, so what was the coat? What did it have on?
Oh my God! I'll send you a picture.
Please retell the story. Sorry,
it was like an alligator gold style like rock jacket. I don't even know what you'd call it. Just like
now, does
alligator
Ringo get
gold.
A piece of that if he buys it? Was it a Beatles coat?
No, it was just a John Varvatos coat.
He was seriously saying he looked good in that fucking coat.
He was just saying to John, he was saying to Jim that you look good in it. And so he told him, you know, he's like, you look good. So Jim bought it. That's story.
Hilarious.
It was boring the second time. It was interesting the first time when he spaced out from ADD.
No, but everybody's laughing that, you know, I'm not fucking listening. Probably. We're not paying attention or whatever. You didn't think that when I sang Johnny Paycheck, take this job and
take
shove it.
Take this job and shove it. I'm a diva, I'm a diva.
So,
do.
What Josh has been trying to get me to do.
You're going to do it.
He wants
motherfucker,
me.
Motherfucker, you are going to do this shit.
He wants me to get a brown curly wig, go out on stage as Don Henley, and then he wants me to play drums and sing Hotel California.
On a dark desert highway.
Yeah, I can't sing, dude. You can
but
sing.
But I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you, and the crowd's going to help you. So everybody knows, because Bill's talked about it, I do a show called The Goddamn Comedy Jam, where comedians do stand-up, they tell a story about a song, and then they sing it. Bill has done it. You've done it more than fucking... like anybody. You're
but
the
nobody
fucking...
counts it because it was pre the NFL-AFL
that's
merger.
That's true, 100%. They don't call back. All right. But we had my birthday coming up, and I asked you, I was like, could you please do that
and I was
for the birthday?
Do it.
And you said, I'm going to do it. And then you called me, and you give me one of your... I've gotten this call a few times where it's like, Josh, dude, I got too much shit going on. I can't learn this fucking song. Don't make me learn this
song. I could play the song, but the fact that I have to sing along with it, and I can't sing...
But you understand, that's a song that's so popular, the second you start playing it, the whole audience is going to fucking join in with you, and then you can just kind of mimic it, and then I'll be singing, and the bass player will be singing, the keyboardist will be singing.
I mean, I'll need, like, all the fucking lyrics in front of me, like, it's going to be a shit show.
I think I could do it. I think, you know, I can make that happen. We listen, there's one in March. I got one coming up, March 20th. We haven't done one in a while.
Yeah, dude, like, my schedule doesn't open up again until fucking April. Like, I'm straight. I don't know what the fuck happened, dude. I got in this business to not work, and now we're doing F is for Family, man. I got to be
cannot wait,
fucking
dude.
Writing shit. We're already up to episode 3. We're cruising.
That's great.
Yeah, we're cruising. But I mean, yeah, it takes a lot of time. All right, let's get into at some point. I will sing Hotel California.
Cool wind in my hair.
Boom, boom, boom.
Something.
I just wanted you to do that one part where it's like boom, boom, boom. But what is it?
But they just
can't kill the bees. Do, 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 do.
Yeah, on the timbali. All right, body shaming. We got people write in, and then they, for some reason, they want advice.
I know how this goes down. Okay.
All right. Body shaming. Yo, Billy, brown shirt. I don't know what brown shirt means. Wasn't that the people who were sympathetic to fucking Hitler?
I have no idea.
Who want brown shirts? Want brown shirts? Wait a minute. I got to look that
now
up.
Now you got to Google
that's
it.
That's something political.
Maybe they just saw you in a picture that you posted in a brown shirt, and they're just rhyming it.
Brown shirt.
Dude, they've said so many weird things, like Billy Elbows or Billy Dingle Dong.
Yeah.
So they just made it up.
No. Brown shirt's political. Nazi Party's original parliamentary. It played a significant role in Adolf Hitler's rise to power. Oh, I guess all he needed was brown shirts. See, that's why the internet's stupid, because I just fucking grazed over all that. Grazed. All right, yo, Billy Brown shirt. I vomited a little in my mouth halfway through your tirade against fat cunts when you suggested... I don't remember doing this. Those who don't conform to your body dysmorphic ideal should get therapy and sort out their lives. Did I say that? Guys, you have to understand something. Like, I have to do an hour usually by myself, and whatever topic comes up, I have to destroy it because I'm trying to make you laugh. Anyways, I haven't heard anything less healthy come out of your mouth for some time. All right, you know something, dude? First of all, I vomited a little bit in my life. The fact that I'm supposed to literally take what you're saying seriously and you're speaking in sound bites. Let me guess, then did you shake your head before you rolled on the floor laughing your ass off? Anyways, if my partner thought my weight was a deal breaker, I'd thank her for the honest glimpse into her vacant prison soul and abandon her in a heartbeat. No, you wouldn't. You overly sensitive jackass. In a heartbeat to the Greyhound-inspired Instagram influencers and consumer program nihilists, you seem to champion. Diversity is not a mental illness, but body shaming is. Ugh.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Wow. I gotta, like, that's worded so much in that speak that I don't even believe that that's true.
No, they're just throwing buzzwords together.
Brown shirt. All of that type of stuff.
Now I see why they called you Billy Brown Shirt. Yeah,
like I'm a Nazi.
They're mad at you. Yeah, like they're mad at you.
No, because what it was there was a guy who was with some chick. She had a little meat on her bones, whatever. And he was went into it thinking, ah, she'll probably fucking lose it eventually. I don't know why he thought that. People tend to just get fatter.
Yeah.
Yeah, people do tend to age. It'd be like, this guy has a little gray hair. Maybe it's going to turn brown. No, it's going to
It's going to get more gray.
Yes. So anyway,
they're going to age. And if somebody,
so what happens is, yeah. But she was putting it on at what he considered to be an alarming rate. So he wanted to stay with her, but he needed to know how to approach.
To ask her in a polite way to stay in shape.
Well, here's what all these.
Or not at least gain weight.
Here's what all these proud fat people are not doing. They're killing themselves. So if somebody does an intervention, and the thing about fatties is they'll fucking sit there and I'll talk about how addiction, food addiction and all that is no different than drug addiction.
I completely agree with you. Well,
you have an intervention with people to be like, dude, you're killing yourself with this heroin.
So I have
a friend.
But
for some reason with Big Macs, you can't fucking be like, hey, why don't you lay off your fucking chicken tenders there?
So I have a friend that that just had a kid, my buddy, and he lost a little bit of weight because he had pre-diabetes, but he's putting it back on again. And like, we had a thing tonight, and I was like, hey man, like you know, you look like you're putting on more weight. And he goes, yeah, you know, it's just the stress and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I know, but you know, celebrating your kid's birthday, it's just you should just, you know, and he wants to, and it's like that by saying that, it's just that reality check just to let him know I'm not shaming him, and I don't think he's shaming his girlfriend either, that dude that wrote in. So it's just kind of like, hey, you know, it's like you said, it's health, you know, it's you gotta stop, you know,
yeah,
fucking just, you got to be exercised. If you want to live, you got to exercise and take care of yourself. What you eat is fuel. It doesn't need to be delicious every time.
I'm not going
to
say his name, but a guy I knew a couple years ago.
Yeah.
The last time I saw him sitting down. I go, this guy does not look good. And he was not eating healthy food. And he's fucking dead a month later.
Fuck.
Yeah, dude. And it's just like, but you're not supposed to say something.
If somebody was addicted to heroin,
I'm flipping out, and I got a temper and shit. My wife can step in on that, but there's something about, like, you know, being fat. These people are just like, no, man, I'm a fucking eight. You've just been convinced by like they take it like you're saying they're not beautiful people. It's like, you know, if I just thought you were just some fat shit, you know, I don't know. It wasn't my fucking idea either, man. So yeah, you can go fuck yourself with all your stupid, like that all of that. So you want to talk about brown shirt, the way this whole thing is written, this is the kind of person that tries to make you lose your job.
A million percent. Yeah, they're very active on Yelp.
Yeah. All right. NFL titles. Hey, pasty pigskin professor. You've asked about Super Bowl titles versus NFL champions. Well, great. Maybe this person has the solution. The issue here is not the answer. It's the question. If someone asks which team have never won a Super Bowl, it has a different answer than if someone asks which team has never won an NFL championship. Even to complicate it more, you could ask who's never won a league championship, which also includes AFL championships and other leagues. All right, I understand all of this. For official NFL champions from 1920 to 1932, there was no championship game. The champion was decided by the best record only. Okay, now none of this is answering my question. That's like back in the day when baseball, all those World Series that they count, you know what winning the pennant was back in the day? You had the end of the regular season. If you had the best record in the American League, you won the pennant. There was no playoff.
Yeah, and then you went to the championship.
You went to the World Series.
Yeah.
So all those years, the Yankees won all those fucking titles. They had one playoff series to win. It wasn't this divisional. It wasn't three rounds of playoffs, which people have to do now.
Were they doing? But were they doing when they got to that World Series? How many games was it?
Was it still seven games? It was the early 1900s where it was best. It was best five out of nine.
Best five out of nine?
Yeah.
Fuck. Dude, that would go until like December if they did that now.
Like, I think the Red Sox, 1903, we won that World Series 5-3.
Game eight, man. It's game eight. Yeah. Coming to your house for game eight.
anyways, from 1933 to 1969, there was a championship game, and the winner of that was the NFL champion. From 1966 on, that champion went on to play in the Super Bowl, and the winner was called the world champion. That's not true. 66, 67, 68, the end of those seasons, or whatever those are, 67, 68, 69, whatever it was, those first three against the AFL was called the AFL-NFL title. It was not called the Super Bowl. Later on, retroactively, it was named the Super Bowl. From 1960 to 69, AFL had champions. That's true. but they aren't counted as NFL history. But they are counted as the team's history. If you are asking how many, yes, okay. From 1966-69, the AFL champions played the Super Bowl. This guy's just telling me shit. They didn't play the Super Bowl. It was renamed that.
This email should be called Facts.
Yeah.
Just facts, 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 facts.
Okay, so in 1966, the AFL champ was the Kansas City Chiefs. The NFL champ was the Green Bay Packers. This is the plus one league championship for each team. Chiefs lost when they played in the first NFL if, so they didn't get a Super Bowl win, but they still were the AFL champion. I understand all of this. I understand all of this. None of that cleared anything up. I'm saying, why don't they count those?
Yeah.
It's like you go to the stadium, like the AFL merged to be part of the NFL.
So you're saying that at most NFL stadiums, there are no trophies to represent the league championships
it's just,
of yesterday.
If you look at the flag, I'm sure in the somewhere in the stadium, maybe they'll they'll have that. But it's just like, you know, when you go to, you know, you go to fucking Red Sox Fenway Park. I mean, we have our banners right down the thing, 1903 to fucking 2018.
Yeah.
Everybody has all of their all of them count. No, that, sir, I appreciate it. It was fun to read all that history, but that didn't answer my question. Why aren't they counted?
I mean, when it comes to the Super Bowl, man, it's just, if it's not in, if those words Super and Bowl aren't before them, they just...
They act like it didn't happen.
They act like it didn't happen, yeah. Well, I mean, it's just, you could still say championships, but I completely see what you're saying right now. It actually is kind of fucked up.
They always said about the Eagles, they've never won a Super Bowl. The last thing they won was an NFL title. It's like, yeah, well, that was the peak of fucking 1960. They were the best fucking football team out there. And you're talking about it like it would, like they lost the election.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways, living in Wyoming. Hey, Billy City Slicker. I was listening to some older podcast episodes and came across a rant you had about Wyoming. I like Wyoming. I didn't remember what I said. Like these people,
they just find tidbits.
I live in Wyoming. I got to say, you are not too far off. I listen to the podcast every week while I feed my cows off the back of a flatbed truck. Shut up. I know this guy's fucking with me. Last week, we killed a problem mountain lion. And next weekend, we'll be entering into a competitive coyote hunt. I live in the absolute middle of fucking nowhere. This sounds amazing.
This guy listens to Steve Earle.
Yeah, but this guy is way more interesting at a party than I am. I do stand-up comedy. Oh, yeah.
What did you do? You know, I saved five of our sheep, you know, from a mountain lion by just pegging it off.
I came in third in the Coyote Hunt Nationals. I want to talk to that guy. The nearest town population is 3,000 miles, and it's 40 miles away. Also, just to clear the air, most of the billionaire cunts live up in Jackson and the rest of Wyoming. Oh, that's what I was saying. I still want to be the douche in Hollywood that gets a place in Wyoming. And the rest of Wyoming pretty much discounts Jackson as being part of the state anyways. Oh, pretty much discounts it as being part of the state. Partially unrelated. I finished getting my pilot's license last year and hope to start on my helicopter rating within the next year. Good for you. My family has used a Bell Jet Ranger to hunt coyotes. Jesus, how much more of an advantage do you need for three generations now? And I'm ready to start flying the heli. Do you have like one of those fucking Vietnam guns?
Get some!
Hey, how do you shoot a doe? Easy. You just don't lead him as much. Am I ready to start flying the heli to carry on the... Oh, and I'm ready to start flying the heli to carry on the tradition. So cheers to a fellow pilot. That's cool as shit. Just wanted to let you know there's at least one cunt listening to your podcast in Wyoming and love all the shit you put out. Thanks and go fuck yourself. That's cool, man. I'm trying to get 8 hours a month flying.
Have you been flying a lot recently?
I got 7.9 for this month, and I'm flying tomorrow morning.
When are you going to take me up, dude?
When I have over 300 hours, and I'm going to do a little bit of instrument training and just get better at it and like do some full... I would do full downs and the whole fucking thing before I would ever take up my first passenger. And I love you too much to have you be my first passenger, but there's a few people in my life that I like. So I'll be taking them up first.
Okay, I believe that.
And you know what I mean? It's just like, do I want to kill this guy or this guy?
Wait, dude.
It's like Sophie's Choice with a helicopter.
Aren't we going to go? We're going to go to see Iron Maiden in Las Vegas. And then that should be like the time that we do that. Just to
run to the hills. All right. P.S. If you want to try a new cigar, check out Deadwood Tobacco Company. Out of Deadwood, South Dakota, the Sweet Jane is my favorite cigar I have ever smoked. See you, bald fuck. Well, I mean, some guy out there in the fucking range shooting coyotes. I bet he
smoking
knows
what a Deadwood.
Yeah, that sounds fucking pretty cool to me. All right, we got to wrap this thing up, dude. We got some cigars.
Some smoking to do.
Oh, it's good. It's 1 hour, 3 minutes. Perfect. All right, drone. Yo, Billy, up there. You were talking about a drone last week that would taxi people around. Sounded like the one you mentioned was unmanned. Check this thing out. 57 batteries. Yeah, dude, that is, I was joking about that fucking thing, dude. They're going to do this thing rather than deal with the population problem. The next thing they do is have it looks like a helicopter, and you just get in it. There's nobody in there, and it'll just like take you across to LA. Now, first of all, I would think it would be super expensive unless it's electric, Elon Musk can make the thing. But dude, you know, your fucking laptop crashes, your phone craps out on you. I was joking, you're going to fly somebody like over a, like the level of insurance, like how are you going to do that? I was joking that you're going to have some hipster come fly through who's on his way to a pocket watch convention out in fucking Venice Beach or something.
All we found was his handlebar mustache.
Yeah, he was on his way to meet this food truck. Yeah, whatever. I think it's
So I get this clear.
Can I show you something super?
Please show it to me. But I'm just trying to, because I'm kind of confused. You're saying there is going to be a transportation that like is a drone. So it's like you get into a tube and then it just lifts the tube up and flies you.
It kind of looks like a helicopter. It looks fucking cool as shit. I think it looks fucking cool.
Are you showing this? Is that what you're showing to me now?
No, I want to show you this app here, ForeFlight. And this is what I'm getting better at here. So this here, once I get good at, you know, confident enough in my abilities and I take up a passenger, so it just, you don't have to know. It's not like back in the fucking day where you had to have like a fucking sectional map on your fucking thigh as you're flying around. This thing gives you all the airports, all the, Santa Barbara, where are we? There's Van Nuys, there's Burbank right there. So it's pink, so that's a Charlie. And then you go, what's so great is you can just fucking type in whatever you want to type in. It gives you the ATIS, it gives you the contact tower. It has a map, runway 8. This is probably most time when you land out there and why they slam on the brakes, because this is so fucking short.
That is a small ass landing strip.
Yeah. I don't know how you could tell it from the app, I think because I just told you it was. I'm being a cunt right now.
I fly Burbank.
There's El Monte. That's one of my favorite ones. But this is so boring for people here, but you see right there, that's a Delta. So ground to 2400. So right here, when you're flying along the 215, you know, I'm going to be in the airspace. I got to call them and they'll just give you clearance all the way through. And then once you learn how to read this fucking thing, you can kind of just fly around out here. Now the rest of the country, they actually have to deal with weather. See, I don't have to deal with it, 'cause people are like, you should fly across the country. It's like, this is a dry climate. I don't have to ever deal with, hey, everything's beautiful. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you know, I can't see anything. There's a brutal fucking call of a guy who, like me, is not instrument rated.
Yeah.
Which means if the clouds came in underneath me, I don't know how to get back down other than to just shut my eyes and go through the clouds and hope
fuck.
I don't.
Fuck.
Yeah, yeah. So he's up there in the soup is, or whatever the fuck they call it. And dude, this guy is free. I'm going to die. Oh. I'm going to die. And then the guy talked him down. And then afterwards, he fucking.
So he lived.
Yeah, but he called the tower. He goes, thanks about it. And the guy's just total ice going, yeah. He goes, what happened up there? Yeah, you fucking pussy, is basically what he was saying. What happened up there is he got involved in some shit that you know, he wasn't ready for. So that's the one weird thing about flying is you learn by other people dying or doing dumb shit.
Because he died.
Somebody showed me one time where this guy was doing a tour in the 44, Robinson 44, and he had three people there. When he took off, right?
Yeah.
He fucking just did this really just... I don't know what, he just didn't go, like, he just ignored everything you're supposed to do. He was loaded up with people. He had, I imagine, you know, a lot heavy with fuel. So what you want to do is use your forward momentum to get going. And he just pulled all this fucking power and his low RPM horn comes on. Now, the weird thing was the chick in the passenger seat was going, woo, like right at this, like the same fucking note. So he didn't hear it at first. And all he had to do, he was bank, come out of the bank, lower your collective and it'll go off and then just gradually climb up. And he did it for a second and then he pulled it again and it came on again. And then he just started descending and your instinct is you want to pull because you want to go up.
Yeah.
You actually want to bring your collective down. He kept pulling power and he's fucking running the ground. They all fucking died.
Oh, fuck, man.
Yeah. So I'll take you up. All right. Girlfriend is pregnant. Hey, Billy, sad tits. I'm 28 years old and my 26 year old girlfriend just found out she's pregnant. Now you're saying this, dude, like you didn't blow the load in her. She found out she's pregnant, like she got fucking shingles or something. This came as a big shock because I previously had a vasectomy when I was 22. Ah, there's the answer. Jesus Christ, at 22, you either had 9 kids by then or you never wanted any.
He had a vasectomy at 22?
He said had never wanted kids. After she told me, I went to a urologist who told me I had regained a sperm count, although rare. It was not unheard of. When I met this girl, she changed my life. I had never trusted or loved any woman the way I do her. She's the light of my life, but we weren't planning on this. We both have okay jobs, but living in California is expensive, and adding a third mouth to feed and paying for doctor's visits will crush us financially. She doesn't have health insurance. Do you have any advice for me? My fear is losing the chance to have kids with her, as this may be a miracle considering my vasectomy and considered you waited a long time to have kids. I want to know if you think this would be good for someone in my position to go through this. Thanks for taking the time to read this poorly and probably not understand my situation, you old gray cunt. The old gray cunt, he ain't what he used to be. Love your shows, and I hope to hear more of your ramblings from you. Best to you, the baby, and go fuck yourself and your gay ass patriots. All right.
Can I take this? Because I think that he should do it.
Yeah.
I think you do. Don't wait on life for your financial situation, man. If you guys will make it work, that's what you will make it work. You'll figure it out. You might not think that you have enough money right now, but something like life is constantly changing and evolving. And it's just like,
yeah, lay off the micro Bruce and have the kid.
Yeah, exactly. Like you'll make it work. I think you should
consider it a miracle. Just like you said, I think it's a great thing. I'm actually really happy for you, and I think put it this way, I wish I didn't wait as long as I did. And the other day I was watching this kids song. It's just as simple that it's like snowflake, snowflake, little snowflake, 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 da 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 da, and my daughter was trying to sing it. And she was throwing her head back, going snowflakes, snowflakes. Mm-hmm. Doing the eye thing, wasn't quite in pain. Dude, I had to fight off getting emotional just watching her do that.
I bet it's the most beautiful thing in the world
ever. And there's nothing up until then. Anything? Fucking, I've done Madison Square Garden was not as good as that. Not even remotely. It's like Madison Square Garden was like, wow, that's amazing. But that moment with my daughter was like, this is what life is all about.
100%.
This is what it's all about. And then another great thing is you become a dad, and one of the greatest fucking things ever, and some sage advice I learned from a good dad is he said how awesome it is because he goes, it's not about you anymore. And at first I kind of took that as like, you know, because I'm a very like, don't tell me what the fuck to do idiot sometimes. Yeah. And then I realized, how great that is. Like the other day, I finally had a day off and my wife wanted to go out and go get some breakfast. She goes, you want to do that? I was like, no, I'm finally home. I want to stay home. So then I was just like, all right, fuck it. That's what she wants to do. And we just went out and I said, yeah, it's not about you. They want to go out to breakfast. Take them out to fucking breakfast. And I went out to breakfast and I had a great fucking time. And I had a great time. And it's weird. When you're home, you're a dad or whatever, blah, blah. But when you go out, you kind of feel more like a dad. I don't know.
Yeah,
why.
Well, no, it's like you're
taking
them
out to dinner.
You're taking them out of the car. You're walking. She's holding your hand, or you're carrying her. You go in. You get her in the little booster seat. You get her whatever. Like it's usually like a mac and cheese or like a cut up hot dog or some shit. Yeah. I assume that she's at that age. And you just people are looking at the kid. Look how beautiful the kid is. And you're oh, I know. It's just like, dude, you're in your element, man.
Yeah. No, it's awesome. And what's cool is she's really, really beginning to talk now.
Yeah.
So Yeah, it's getting to the point where I can actually convey to her and she will understand how much I love her, which is going to be great.
Cause that's that's incredible. Like, dude.
Yeah, because I always say, you realize how much I love you? Do you understand that? And she'll just be looking at you, smiling or whatever. But I'll actually be able to say it. She'll be able to understand it. Yeah, I can't wait. Can't wait to fucking play catch with her. I'm going to teach her how to drive my truck. Three on the tree.
You gonna take
what kid born in 2018
is going to know how to work shit?
2017. Sorry, no. Forget about drive a stick. Drive three on the column. I took it over to Jiffy Lube, which I know a lot of fucking car people are going to give me shit for.
That you went to Jiffy Lube?
Well, I would change it, but the way they designed the guy, whoever fucking designed the engine, did not talk to the guy who fucking designed the frame on that truck, because the frame, there's like literally a piece that goes from one side to the other right underneath the fucking plug for the drain pan. So the only, it's just a giant fucking mess. Like when they do it, they have to have this giant thing underneath it, and it comes down and it splashes all over that piece that goes across, and then they have like this spray thing and then the air thing that they shoot all off. It's like, I'm going to do that in my garage and have a fucking oil spill. I can't do it. I hate it.
Yeah, you got to take it in.
I used to love doing it. When I was a kid, that was like my favorite thing because I knew how to do it. I would change the fuel filter. I knew how to do a lube job. I knew how to do the whole fucking, all of that maintenance stuff, but I never had the balls to start taking apart the fucking engine or whatever. But anyways, that's the podcast. We got a cigar to smoke. Hey, your pick.
For the Super Bowl?
Patriots
or
Rams?
I think it's going to be the Patriots. I really
do. You think so?
I do. And to be honest with you, like, I love watching greatness. And I know people like to hate on the Patriots. And I know I tease you sometimes. But it's just like, dude, he's so good. That team is so good, man. And it's like to be able to say that I watched Michael Jordan win six. Like, I know I was alive during that. And nobody else has matched that greatness except for Tom Brady.
Well, I'm going to die 1,000 deaths as always. And I really think that, dude, we're going up against what's looking like the next Belichick.
Sean McVay, dude.
I mean, he's like fucking 33, 34 years old. I mean, it's fucking ridiculous.
Like, he was a skin, dude. He was our offensive coordinator. Oh, like, God, and we gave him up. Like, we have fucking one of the goddamn Grudens who ain't doing shit.
I know. Belichick coached the Browns at one point. It happens, dude. It happens. All right. That's the podcast. I'm hoping my Patriots win. I have no idea what's going to happen. The fucking Rams look great, and I think their quarterback, like, they just don't make quarterbacks the way they used to. Like, they don't come into the league scared. They just fucking come in like, all right, whatever. I don't know what it is. Maybe because they video games and shit, they've already seen. It's like, I remember that guy. I used to beat him all the time in eighth grade. Now I'm playing him. Now he's fucking older. I'm not scared of any of these people. All right, I'm rambling.
Can I give my final pitch on the podcast?
Yes.
Guys, everybody, my podcast is called The 500 with Josh Adam Myers. Join the Record Book Club. We're going through the 500 greatest albums of all time. Bill's done it. Jim Jefferies. We got just table Wanda Sykes doing Earth, Wind, and Fire.
It's cool.
It's my fucking favorite thing I've ever done. Experience the greatest music of all time and then hear me and a comic talk shit about it. Not shit. We just can go through it. Just join
awesome.
The
I had a great time.
Just listen to it.
Check it out. Josh Adam Myers, The 500. All right. I'll see you on Thursday.